reckless love of God. Isn't it good to know you have at least one who will fight for you? Isn't it good to know you have at least one who will send others your way to encourage and to strengthen you, to see about you, oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. I'm so very grateful to our worship team and the movement and the energy of the Holy Spirit as they have created this space for us to worship and praise and love and thank God for being our God. So as we continue to worship through the Word of God, let us lift our hearts up to our Lord. Let us lift our pains and our joys and our celebrations. Let us lift all of who we are up to God. For our God, His love is never ending. So let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you said in Isaiah that your word would never return to you empty. I am grateful for this moment and all of those who have gathered to worship your holy name, to praise your holy name, and to love you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we are here with our hearts wide open. Send us, rain down on us your wisdom and your love. We bless your holy name, O God, for you are worthy of all the praise. We rend our hearts to you. And we give thanks. We give good thanks for all that you have done. And all of God's children said, amen, amen, amen. The scriptures, once again, in this Lenten season are quite challenging. I did not pick these. These are a part of our 3-year lectionary rotation, and I have to admit, once again, today is absolutely no exception. I mean, Lent is a time of remaining in this tension as we journey with Christ. As we journey with Christ to the cross, this tension that does not always bring or result in a warm and fuzzy feeling. This tension leads us to say yes to God, to transformed lives, to hearts that look outward and not inward, to a community who needs us as people of faith. So I want for a moment, just all of us, to remember some of the games you may have played around your childhood. You know, games you may have played with friends at school or at community events. Games based on follow the leader. You remember those? Simon Says, jump up and down. Okay, everybody stand. I'm kidding. Jump up and down. I won't ask you anymore to do any of those. Remember red light, green light. Red Rover, bring Ashley right over. Do you remember that? Games, your kids still play those? Okay. We play those too. Kira's a little bit too old. We play other games now. But it's a fun and non-complicated way, until it becomes complicated, how to follow the leader. I may have shared this with you, my 9-year-old friend group, I don't remember, we had a leader and his name was Russell. So whenever we rode our bikes around the neighborhood, Russell was our leader. We followed him all over the place until one day Russell did not make a jump across a small creek and broke his arm. Like I said, we follow the leader at least until it becomes complicated. So on this third Sunday of Lent, we're witnesses to a complicated side of Jesus. A side we have never seen before. A side of Jesus where he is misunderstood. This similar narrative is told in each of the four Gospels. But the Gospel of John is the only one that tells the story of Jesus taking cords, wrapping them together, and whipping folks and animals out of the temple. I wonder, personally, because of the level of tension and scandal, that this display of passion about God's house of worship, if this whip of cords is to serve as comic relief. I mean, to be quite honest, this is a Jesus that we do not know. Nor is his behavior expected by those in the temple. I love it when we revisit this text because it is a deep theological reminder that the Jews in the temple, the disciples and others, do not know what we know today, and that is that we win, right? We go to the cross of Christ and that we win. No matter what is going on in your life, no matter what pain you may be experiencing, no matter what transitions you may be in the middle of, we win as followers of Jesus Christ. Let's keep that at the top of our heads. We have to also remember that we are the church. Someone once said, we worship our work, we work at our play, and play at our worship. Do y'all want me to stop now? No. Today's biblical episode, this tension that we hold, touches upon how we worship our God. And I have to admit, it is refreshing to witness the zeal and the passion of Jesus for worship. Let's step back for a moment. See, in the preceding chapter, Jesus has just performed his first miracle, the miracles that many of us want to talk about over and over again, the miracle of Jesus changing water into an abundance of wine. Do you know how often I hear people talk about that miracle? This is the miracle they want to witness today. I'm going to leave it at that. See, but after the festivities, Jesus and his mother, this is what the scripture tells us, Jesus and his mother and his brothers and his disciples go down to Capernaum for a few days. The text tells us Jesus travels up to Jerusalem because the Passover of the Jews was near. See, Passover is one of the three annual festivities where all of the Jews return to Jerusalem to celebrate. It was a time to remember the great deliverance of God that he had granted on the Israelites in the Exodus. It was a time for them to look forward to the Savior who was to come. At some point, as a mode of convenience, the marketplace was set up in the temple so one could come and they could buy ceremonially clean cattle, sheep, and doves. This was also a time where some would pay their temple tax. And so the tax had to be paid in a certain type of coin. So the money changers set up shop in the temple so people could exchange their money for the money that was required for the temple tax. So can you imagine for a moment, physically, what was occurring in God's house? The smell and the mess of the animals, the noise of sheep baying, the doves cooing, and the cattle doing whatever cattle do. Can you imagine the raised voices of the people haggling for better prices. And Jesus is witnessing this mayhem. Are you familiar with the Allstate commercials where the guy is mayhem and always shows up to do something wrong? Jesus is witnessing mayhem. And he says to the dove sellers, get these things out of here. Don't make my father's house a place of business. Other translations say, stop making my father's house a marketplace. Or make not my father's house a house of merchandise. Jesus is not only recalling the words of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 7, verse 11, where it says, the Lord is saying, has the house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your sight? The Lord then goes on to say, you know I too am watching, says the Lord. So Jesus is repeating the words in this Jewish temple to these Jewish people from the prophet Jeremiah, where they will also remember those words. But not only is Jesus reciting, remembering, recalling the words of the prophet, in this moment, Jesus is also acknowledging his divine relationship to his Father God. Think about this. He said, in my Father's house. He didn't say in God's house. In my Father's house. Therefore, in the ears of those who are listening, he is declaring himself as God's son. Saints, this passage is scandalous. I love it. Remember when I told you leader can be fun until it gets complicated. See, in this text, when Jesus speaks, his words are misunderstood, but clarification follows. As the disciples witness this passion and zeal of Jesus, and hear the Jewish leaders ask Jesus in verse 18, by what authority are you doing this? What miraculous signs will you show us? They remember Psalm 69:9. Passion for your house has consumed me, and the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. They're remembering the words of the prophets. They're remembering the words of the Psalms, the songs that they sing. We are called in these moments to remember the words of the Scriptures. I will not leave you nor forsake you. We are called in these moments to remember the hymns and the songs of praise that say we are serving a God whose love never ends. See, the Gospel of John's temple story is a foreshadowing of what is to come. It is this tension that we hold, and it's ultimately about the faith of Jesus and salvation for us. Last Sunday's text focused on the Lenten question, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? Today, we focus on this tension and the question of what does it mean to be the church of Jesus. Pause here on this Communion Sunday as we sit in this holy tension. Saints, what does it mean to be the church of Jesus? As we witness this text with a bird's eye view, imagine Jesus' response in our text. We're imagining his response in our text. the use of the whipping cords to remove the market sellers. We're imagining the scattered coins and the overturned tables. We're imagining his prophetic word repeated from Jeremiah 7:11, has this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your sight. You know, I too am watching, says the Lord. As we sit in this holy tension, I raise the questions. Have we gotten off the path that Jesus wanted us to follow? Are we just going through the motions of worship? Have we lost focus on our true worship of our God? Remember, I said in the beginning of our time, someone once said, we worship our work at our play, and play at our worship. This is pretty clear in the scene of Jesus cleansing the temple. But Jesus wasn't afraid to speak the truth. He wasn't afraid to act for the truth. He wasn't afraid to die for the truth. It is refreshing to see the zeal of Jesus, because his zeal restored honor to God's house. His zeal earned our salvation. His zeal gave us the grace that we continue to speak about being abound and around us all the time. His zeal had us recognize this love for God that we are to bring to his house of worship. God's zeal. Following the leader may at times be complicated until we trust in the one who leads us and who is always beckoning us to follow. So, beautiful people of God, what does it mean to be the church of Jesus? I can tell you what I think it means. It means living beyond the pale. Beyond the pale is this term that says that we're living outside the bounds of what is acceptable, taking risks without knowing the outcome, but trusting God every step of the way. It means hearing Ephesians chapter 4, 15 through 16, where the words of God say, God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and to tell it in love, like Christ in everything. See, we take our lead from Christ, the scripture says, who is the source of everything we do. Christ keeps us in step with each other. Christ's every breath and blood flows through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God and robust in love. It means speaking truth in love and truth to power. It means fighting with zeal, with grace for what Jesus believes in. For us, first and foremost, to love and reverence our God, to worship God in spirit and in truth, and for us to love one another. It means embodying the celebration of Holy Communion, this table of forgiveness and grace that is extended to all. It means holding the tension of who we are called to be as the church. It means looking for those places where God has already turned over the tables in our communities, in our families, and even in our hearts. It means God will fill those places and spaces with the hope of Jesus Christ. It means being filled with God's presence. Fill us up, God, so we can be the church you are calling us to be. It means we pray for less of us and more of God. It means coming to the altar where God's arms are open wide. It means no matter what, we love one another. We reverence our God. And we speak God's truth to everyone we meet. It means you are beautiful people of God. And we are God's children. It means God's grace abounds and his love endures forever. So there has been a question about whether or not the altar is open for prayer. The altar is always open. But when you come, I want to just be certain that you understand to pay attention to the social distancing, because the altar is open. God's love abounds. And we are called to be the church. We don't have to turn over any temple tables. Jesus has already done it. But we do go to those places where Jesus happens to be. Be the hope and the love and the light of Christ, even in the midst of this Lenten season. We hold this tension of Christ's sacrifice and Christ's hope and love. So come to the altar where Christ forgives us.